From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the final 16. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's Skilled Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
It's Pavel with a four-length lead. Honorable Duty moves into second, trying to close. Mature in the outside, Hawakam, but they're all chasing Pavel. Pavel wins the Stephen Foster by three on the wire.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And Tenfold takes charge. Ricardo Santana Jr. and Tenfold have taken the lead, moving away from Flame Away. Vino Rosso kicking it in late. Tenfold is bearing out through the stretch, but Tenfold will win the Jim Dandy.
Wondergadot's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wondergadot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishes them in the Queen's Plate.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in the starting gate by myself this morning as the Pontiff has the morning off, but you will hear from him later in the program. He's going to join me to take a look at the Alabama Stakes at Saratoga as part of our Philly Focus segment this morning, which is presented by Paramount Sales. Happy to have you with me. For everyone tuning in on Sirius 219, XM 201, and everybody streaming us worldwide at horseracingradio.net and listening on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country. It is another win and you're in Saturday in the sport of thoroughbred racing, and a couple of Breeders' Cup Challenge races on the docket today. Both of those going to be contested on the West Coast, where the turf meets the surf at Old Del Mar. You have the TVG Pacific Classic, and you have the Del Mar Handicap. The Pacific Classic, a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Classic division. And, of course, the Del Mar Handicap, a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Turf division. As you would imagine, big day at Saratoga as well. The Alabama, boy, the historic Alabama, so much history in that race. So many outstanding fillies have come through that race over the years, and we're going to talk about many of them as we move throughout the show this morning. But the Alabama, the signature event on that program this afternoon at the Spa. Our coverage of that race begins at 5 o'clock Eastern this afternoon as part of our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series presented by visitbarbados.org. That's a series where we bring you coverage of Saratoga's biggest stakes races every single Saturday. And this afternoon, 5 to 6 Eastern, you can hear it on Sirius XM Channel 93, and of course worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. Anthony Stabile, Acacia Courtney, and Mike Beer will have the coverage for you live from Saratoga this afternoon. I'm going to talk about those races. We're going to have several special guests on to talk about the Alabama and the Pacific Classic and those entire programs today at the two signature summer racetracks that we have in the sport. But before we do, some news coming out this past week regarding the Breeders' Cup. And with this year's Breeders' Cup looming just 76 days, 4 hours, and 21 minutes away, thought it would be appropriate to start with some news about future Breeders' Cup venues. The Breeders' Cup announcing this week that next year, following this year's Breeders' Cup at Churchill Downs, the Breeders' Cup will head west yet again back to Santa Anita. Great venue. Unbelievable venue for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. You think about just the backdrop that you have for the Super Bowl of horse racing, those San Gabriel Mountains. It's simply spectacular. Santa Anita going to be hosting the Breeders' Cup for a record 10th time next year in 2019. Then the Breeders' Cup going to head back here to the Bluegrass, back to Keeneland, who did a phenomenal job hosting the Breeders' Cup in 2015. They'll bring it back here in 2020 and then head right back out west to Del Mar in 2021. Of course, Keeneland, Del Mar have each hosted the Breeders' Cup on one other occasion. And apparently the Breeders' Cup thinking that they did just fine. And they did. Both of those tracks doing a tremendous job. So the return there, Santa Anita in 2019, Keeneland 2020, Del Mar 2021. And that kind of leads me to the poll question for this morning. I got thinking about this as I was reading through that press release and getting ready for the program today. Which racetrack has been your favorite Breeders' Cup venue? And I'm not going to give you choices this morning. I want you just to weigh in, just answer that question on our Twitter feed at HRRN, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, another way to do it. But I want to know, what track has been your favorite Breeders' Cup venue? And I did want to give you choices because it could be a racetrack that is no longer in existence, like Hollywood Park, for example. Maybe that was the one back in the early days of the Breeders' Cup that you really enjoyed attending that event. Maybe it's a track like Gulfstream Park, who, as we know, that racetrack has been completely remodeled and at this point not capable of hosting a Breeders' Cup. Going to need some renovations to do it. There's been talk of that. Expansion of Gulfstream hasn't happened yet. But maybe it's a Gulfstream Park. Maybe you loved going to that Breeders' Cup at Gulfstream. Maybe it's Woodbine. Maybe it's Arlington Park. Maybe it's one of the New York tracks, Belmont or Aqueduct. Or maybe it's one of the current tracks that we just talked about. Maybe it was Keeneland. Maybe Del Mar, Churchill Downs. Could have been Lone Star. Remember that Breeders' Cup at Lone Star? I think that one gets forgotten sometimes. Yeah, could be any of those. So weigh in now. I want to hear from you. What is your... Which racetrack is your favorite Breeders' Cup venue, or has been your favorite Breeders' Cup venue? We'll update the poll question as we move throughout the show here this morning at HRRN on Twitter and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. All right, so here's what's coming up. Going to talk about the Alabama quite a bit in the first half of the show. Second half of the show will be more Pacific Classic oriented. Ken McPeak, he's looking for an upset in the Alabama today. He's going to try and win it with Eskimo Kisses, who is ultra-talented. She has faced all of the big names that we have in the three-year-old filly division. And now she's going to do it one more time. She has to square off with the likely favorite in Midnight Bisou. You're going to hear from Ken McPeak talking about Eskimo Kisses and trying to pull off the upset. Then, at 8:33 Eastern, our good friend Jeff Bloom, our colleague here on the network and the man who is the founder of Bloom Racing, and the owners of Midnight Bisou, he's going to join us at 8:33 Eastern. So stay tuned for that. So we'll talk about a potential upsetter. We'll talk about the favorite in Midnight Bisou with Jeff Bloom. Second half of the show, John Sadler, who saddles Accelerate, the likely favorite in today's Pacific Classic. You're going to hear from him. He joined Anthony Stabile on our Express Bet radio program yesterday. That entire interview coming your way in the second half of the show. And Craig Dato is going to be with me, the Executive Vice President of Del Mar and the Chief Marketing Officer. He'll tell you exactly what you can look forward to on this Pacific Classic day. So it's going to be a very busy show. We're going to cover a lot of ground. I'll mix in some talk about the big day at Ellis Park as well. You have a couple of really nice juvenile races this weekend at Ellis that we're going to tell you about too. So I'll try to mix that in as we move throughout the show. When I come back, Ken McPeak kicks it all off for you. It's all here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and it's all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust Keep Safe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about Keep Safe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonySteaksandSeafood.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Spendthrift Stallion Golden Sense, a record-setting three-time Grade 1 winner and best son of emerging top sire Into Mischief, a winner of the Santa Anita Derby at 3, and one of the most brilliant milers of his generation, becoming the first horse to win back-to-back Breeders' Cup miles. Golden Sense also set a Del Mar track record, winning the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien Stakes in 120.99. Golden Sense, standing at Spendthrift.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-588. 5480.
Yo guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And here's Mia Doro within a neck of the front-running first alternate. Four lengths now to Sydney Freeman, who moves up nicely into fourth. Sydney Freeman with 3.5 to make up. Top of the stretch, Mia Doro. And Eskimo Kisses challenge and pass first alternate. And Eskimo Kisses is set down now and opens up. Eskimo Kisses suddenly 5 in front. Boy, she is running a very big race. Mia Doro and first alternate battle second and third. But here's a budding star, Eskimo Kisses. Wow. Eskimo Kisses won by double digits. First alternate battled to be second. Sydney Freeman was third, and Mia Doro finished fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and happy to have you back with me. Vic Stauffer had the call of that allowance victory by Eskimo Kisses. And boy, was it a good one. An 11th length victory that day. She won by the length of the stretch. It probably could have been more. She was so dominant that afternoon. That was back on February 22nd. She is 0 for 4 since that try, but she's had to face the likes of Monomoy Girl a few times, and a lot of horses would be 0 for 4 if they had to face Monomoy Girl a few times in their recent starts. And the trainer of Eskimo Kisses, Kenny McPeak, is with us now. He has trained more than 1,600 winners in a stellar career, and looking for another one this afternoon in the Alabama. Kenny, welcome, my friend.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, she hasn't ducked anybody, has she?
Well, you get three-year-old fillies, you know, you get a chance to get more black type, and she's got an excellent female family. So, you know, it's her second dam's winning colors, Derby winners, most of us know. But she's good, and this is a chance to really put a big cherry on top of everything with her.
Yeah, she's very good. Let's talk about, before we get into talking about what she's going to face today in the Alabama, let's talk about those past four outings since that big win at Oaklawn Park. After that race, she comes back. She's beaten just a head in the Grade 2 Fairground Oaks. Then she comes back, and she's second to Monomoy Girl in the Grade 1 Ashland. And then her next two starts were pretty solid. She runs in the Kentucky Oaks. She is a closing fourth. Not bad at all. And then she comes back in the Coaching Club American Oaks and is fourth again, all behind Monomoy Girl. Your thoughts on those past four outings?
Well, Monomoy Girl's special. I mean, you can't deny that. I'm really thrilled she's not running this weekend. We've been plotting for this race for an extended period of time, thinking all along this would be her best distance. You know, you can't control the pace of the race, so we don't know how it's going to set up for us. She does need a little bit of pace to run at, and hopefully they give her that. But she had a big strap in Philly, and her four races before, I mean, she probably should have won the Fairgrounds Oaks. That was really not a great trip, but she just got nosed out. And then the other races were all respectable. I mean, this is a lot deeper water than she was running in at Oaklawn, and you've obviously got to, you know, beat the better ones to get the grade one status. But she's a good filly, and I think her future's bright.
Yeah, Midnight Bisou, the morning line favorite and the likely favorite, the horse that you'll have to, of course, you got to beat them all. But she's the big name in the Alabama Stakes. And you were just a half length behind her in the Kentucky Oaks, and your filly had a little bit of trouble. Give you a little more confidence knowing that?
Well, at Churchill, we've got the big long stretch, and here you're going to have a nice long stretch, especially in a mile and a quarter. The race we ran, the coaching club, the race coming into here, we really needed a race. I mean, I really was using that race to propel her into the Alabama. I mean, I gave her a break at my farm to give her a little breather, let her put on a little weight. She is so much bigger and stronger now than she was when we were running her in the spring. I think if you see her, she's just a massive. She's like a freight train to look at. But I think she's their best today. And, you know, fingers crossed, Jose Ortiz gives her a sweet trip and, you know, she gets a big piece of it.
Yeah, you said you thought this might be her best distance, mile and a quarter, or at least a good distance for her. Is that because of her size, or is there something else she shows you that makes you believe that maybe this is the right spot?
Well, size and running style. I mean, she's a filly that doesn't quit in a race. She just keeps coming. And if they set some pace, middle, early pace on the race, and then that gives her a chance for them to come back to her a little bit. But she's not going to be quitting. She's going to be continuing to finish. And hopefully, like I said, it's really a pace of the race is really what we're at our mercy here. Is she good enough, and can she get through, you know, the traffic and make her run to the wire?
Talking with trainer Kenny McPeak on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Kenny, you know, as I was kind of thinking back on some of the big upsets that you pulled off, and this wouldn't certainly be that big of an upset because Eskimo Kiss is, at least in terms of the odds, only 6-1 on the morning line. So she's definitely a contender in here. But you think back to like Sarava and even maybe Golden Ticket, for example. Do you like being in this position of being the hunter as opposed to the hunted?
No, I'd rather be the hunted. I'd rather be Montemore Girl. But no, it's okay. You know, I'm not one to put much emphasis in on win percentage. I believe that black type on fillies is more important than win percentage. I think putting money in my owner's or my client's accounts is more important than win percentage. And, you know, look, you got to risk something for a reward. And what else are we going to do with her? I mean, she's run through her conditions. She's already grade one placed, grade two placed. You've got one shot at this, whether it's a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old. Then you've got to run against older horses, which is a completely different level. And it's actually a similar situation to Daddy's Little Darling last year where, you know, we were hunting the grade one, and we got it. But before the end of the year, we finally got it. But that's of huge value to people that breed horses. And Anthony Beck and the primary owners here, Harold Lerner, you know, Andrew Rosen's now a partner with us, Jack Cohen. You know, this filly's value is in the broodmare shed at one day or one point. If you stamp a grade one on her catalog page as a grade one winner, the value when her colts, fillies go through the auction is massive.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
no doubt about it.
That's where the real reward is. So taking a shot's no big deal.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and I completely agree. You're 100% right. She has had, Eskimo Kisses has had her fair share of riders throughout her career, and now she gets another new one with Jose Ortiz. Talk to me about the decision there.
Well, a little bit back and forth on that, of course. Alex Conchar did a real good job with her, but Alex doesn't ride this circuit, and no sense of putting him in foreign territory. We've got Corey Lannery, who's always done a great job. My initial idea was to bring Corey back to ride her up here, but we talked about it, and we'd still rather have a local rider. I think that she is kind of particular in the way she's ridden. You know, I don't think that, Javier Castellano did a bad job on her so much. I know she needed the race, but I do think that she wants a rider that sits back on her a little bit and gives her a little bit of bit to hang on to and lets her pull them along. And then, and what I call a slingshot ride, where they're just holding until they see the whites of their eyes, and then they cut them loose the last part of it. I think, you know, maybe Jose Ortiz is that rider for today. But look, he's the top rider in New York. You can't go too wrong, I don't suppose. And he came and got on her the other day and liked her a lot. She really pulled him around here. He's got a feel for how big and strong she is, and he's ready to get the job done himself.
Ken McPeak here on HRRN. Kenny, I'm glad you brought up the name Daddy's Little Darling, because I was going to ask you about her performance last week in the Beverly D. She ran a solid fourth in there. I think you had to be pretty happy, although I know you would have preferred a little bit better. But your thoughts on that performance?
Ricky Bobby. you know, if you're not first, you're last, is always a joke. But, you know, she ran another bit bang-up race, and she gets beat by Chad Brown, which, you know, you got to really tip your hat to the guy. He's really on a roll. You know, she's been kind of haunted by a lot of his fillies. But, you know, look, close no cigar again. She's really special. Really sad to lose Mrs. Polk right now. And I don't know that filly's going to run anymore. The family's kind of decided that they may not race her anymore. So that remains to be seen. There's some estate issues, and it's you know, certainly it's out of my hands. I don't know why, but it looks like that might be swan song.
Yeah, definitely not the news that we wanted to hear, for sure. You know, one thing trainers do, Kenny, is they're always looking to kind of find that next superstar. And a lot of people may not realize this, but one way that trainers do that is by going to a public auction. You were at the Saratoga Selected Yearling Sale a couple of weeks ago. We were there. We broadcast it. You didn't waste any time. You got busy with Hip Number One, a filly by Cairo Prince, who is going to head down to Magdalena now to get ready. Pretty nice job, my friend. Well done.
Well, it's hard to find value in this sale, and I do put a lot of energy into finding value for people I work for. I thought that filly was one of the best fillies in the auction, and the fact that she went off early, I think, worked to our advantage. As a seller, I don't know that you want to be in early or really late, but we jumped on it. Scott Leeds, one of my best clients, he bought her, and I thought it was good value. And then we subsequently won with two Cairo Princes.
Oh,
I've
nice.
Time Warp, who's going to run in the Seeking the Annie, and then I've got Cairo Cat, who won up here, is going to come back in the Kentucky, or in the Iroquois at Churchill. So we like him a lot.
Yeah, he's such a good stallion. And this filly, you know, look, that sale, Kenny, and tell me if you agree, I thought that may have been maybe some of the best yearlings ever assembled for any horse sale, and I think the results proved it.
Now, wait a second. Now, you don't really know that for 3 years.
Yeah, in the catalog, anyway, they looked like it.
Yeah, no, Phasing Tipton does a great job. You know, they're really good at that. And, you know, the sail-topping filly with the Medaglia d'Oro, I trained her mother, Dawn Raid, and, you like to see that. But you just never know with these auctions. Sometimes a group that they put out there, I mean, a few years ago they had Songbird run through there, and it's a, I think Bolt d'Oro went through there. They never fail. They always have runners come out of that. That's why they're so damned expensive.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, Kenny, what else can we look forward to from the McPeak Barn over the next couple of months as we move down the road to the Breeders' Cup?
Well, we've got Restless Rider. The filly that won the debutante. I mean, this filly's a real freak. Probably as excited as I've ever been about a young horse, colt or filly. She's got a... she's got bull that worked here yesterday as a two-year-old. She does it with a bow in her neck. She worked 59-1 over the Oklahoma track, which is unheard of. And she's set for the spin-away. Her schedule, spin-away Alcibiades, Breeders' Cup, if all goes to plan. And she's, I mean, even Take Charge Lady didn't show this kind of talent as a two-year-old.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed, legs crossed, arms crossed. I'm hope everything stays like it has. So anyway, that one, and I've got a whole bunch of other ones, you know. Cairo Cat I mentioned. I got the New York Red Time Warp. I got, you know, I got some good hard knockers out there too. Senior Investment still in the barn. He's going to have a good fall. Rated R Superstar who won the Ben Ally. He's a really good grade three type horse. Oh gosh, I'm sure I'm missing some. Some NTM, our Louisville handicap winner from 17. He's getting ready for fall. Vittori Ken, who won it in 18, the Louisville handicap. He's getting ready for fall. Harlan Strong, who was second in the Louisville handicap. Another one. But anyway, we got a nice foundation of horses, and we got a lot of young horses coming up already.
Yeah, a really strong roster for trainer Kenny McPeak, who is my guest here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Kenny, just a couple of minutes left. Have to get to the next segment. But before I do, I always like to give you an opportunity to let people know what's happening with your app that you created, Horse Races Now. Where do things stand there? How's it going?
Well, one of the, you know, for those that don't know, the Horse Races Now is an iPhone Android app, and you can get it on either store. But you know, it still continues to gather about 10,000 new users a month. It's a pretty amazing product in that regard. Financially, it's been like climbing Mount Everest. I put a lot of my own money into it, but people they're using it a lot, and we're going to probably tinker with a subscription version because financially we need some sort of help. You know, covering the cost of data and video. And then we did a wagering version, which we had out in beta since April. That's been modestly successful. It functions perfectly, but we have been unable to get the Stronic Group or Churchill or Naira to give us the ability to bet or content. So that's been a little frustrating. If we don't have the big racetracks, we can't keep that open. So we've decided that we're gonna close it down, but it's a the app itself continues to grow, and it's about 700,000 users now.
Wow.
And we've got some chances. We may even add sports betting to it at some point. That's been something that's been discussed, especially with the new Supreme Court decision. That could change the scenery a lot too, but otherwise we're just kind of grinding along and trying to make something good happen for a sport that needs it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll keep it rolling and keep up the good fight, Kenny. Always appreciate the visit. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we'll send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And all the best this afternoon in the Alabama and moving forward with all those horses on the road to the Breeders' Cup.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, Kenny. Ken McPeak here on HRRN. And as you can hear, he's looking forward to a huge late summer and fall with all those names that he just rattled off. And he's hoping to kick it off this afternoon with an upset in the Grade 1 Alabama. And as you heard me ask him about pulling off those upsets, he's done it on several occasions. He's no stranger to pulling off a shocker. And this wouldn't be. Let's face it, Eskimo Kisses is a really good filly. And she's been right there, not only with Monomoy Girl, but with Midnight Bisou, who she faces again today. And Kenny said this might be her best distance. She's by To Honor and Serve, Gainsway Stallion. This is a Gainsway bred. She's out of a Mr. Greeley mare. That might be the question mark going a mile and a quarter. We'll have to see. But if Kenny McPeak says that this could be her best distance, you got to go for it. And you got to take that shot. All right, when we come back, we're going to step away for our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When I come back, I'm going to be joined by my good friend, our HRN colleague, Jeff Bloom, who is the man who created Bloom Racing. Bloom Racing sending out Midnight Bisou in today's Alabama. She doesn't have to face Monomoy Girl today. She's 7-5 on the morning line, has the services of Hall of Famer Mike Smith. We'll see if they can get it done later today. But Jeff will join me when I come back, right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
In late July of 1964, a well-matched field answered the call to post for the running of the Brooklyn Handicap over 10 furlongs. In that stellar field were Kelso with Milo Valenzuela in the saddle, Gunbow with Walter Blum at the controls, and Iron Peg with the shoe Willie Shoemaker up. There were 8 total starters, but the consensus was that the race would be decided amongst these three, and consensus prevailed in what turned out to be a memorable performance by the eventual winner. A lot happened during the race, and a lot happened before. As the eight-horse field was loaded into the gate, Kelso knelt down in his stall as though preparing to pray. Rather than getting up on his feet, he reared back and sat on his haunches. It seemed totally out of context for the grand old champion, who had been calm in both the paddock and during the parade to post, but for whatever reason, he was rank indeed at the gate. In fact, the starting gate went slightly askew as he went to his knees. Kelso had injured himself in the very same way while in training in California once before, and that had cost him the winter of racing. When Valenzuela and an assistant starter finally got Kelso righted, starter George Cassidy got the field away immediately and in good order. Kelso broke alertly enough, but by the time the field had gone barely an eighth of a mile, he had dropped well back into seventh place. By the stands they went and on into the clubhouse turn, with Gunbo under Walter Blum setting the pace and breezing along uncontested while increasing his lead. Around the turn and on into the backside, Gunbo opened up a margin so commanding it looked like a one-horse race with the rest of the field far in arrears. Iron Peg, the Suburban winner under Shoemaker, had been the one that figured to prompt the pace, but he had all he could do to just keep close enough to have Gunbo in sight. You couldn't find the rest of the field with a sheriff's warrant. By the time they had gone five furlongs, Kelso was so far back that Valenzuela began whipping him to try to close some part of what was a monumental gap to Gunbo, and there was half the race yet to be run. Gunbo reeled off sensational fractions on the front end, and no doubt a great many in the crowd stole a look at the teletimer to check the fractions. At the top of the stretch, with still a quarter of a mile left to run, it was all over but the yelling, with the only remaining question to be answered was what the final margin of victory would be, and of course the final time. Blum was in the proverbial catbird seat for the entire trip, opening up a lead of 7, then 9, 10, and finally 12 lengths, the winning margin. He had never faced any kind of a challenge at all for the entire 10 furlongs. The final time was the expected sensational 1:59.3. Until this race, Gunbo became the first and only horse to have ever clocked less than 2 minutes for the distance in New York. Kelso appeared to have suffered no ill effect from the incident at the gate, returning after the race in good shape with no soreness. It was, very simply, that Gunbo had had his day, and a five-star effort indeed it was, July 1964, in the running of the Brooklyn Handicap.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
I'm Devin. I deliver sandwiches for Jimmy John's.
Freak Town! Population Devin.
We'll deliver one sandwich.
Minimum freak.
Or hundreds of sandwiches.
Infinity freak.
However many you want.
You're mayor of Freak Town, Devin. Freaky fresh, freaky fast. Jimmy John's. Freak yeah.
I'm Tammy. I get to Jimmy John's early every day.
Freak-a-doodle-doo.
To bake bread fresh.
Freak-a-doodle-doe.
And we keep on baking throughout the day, so it's always fresh for our customers. That's all.
Doodaloo, freak-a-doo. Freaky fresh, freaky fast. Jimmy John's. Freak yeah.
Did you know since 1998, 236 Ellis Park race horses have won at least one graded race? 102 horses that ran at Ellis went on to finish in the top three of a grade one event, while 37 of those were grade one winners. Groupied All and Run Happy raced at Ellis and later won grade one Breeders' Cup sprint races. Keen Ice began his career at Ellis Park and would later on defeat American Pharoah in the grade one Traverse. Record purses, a new expanded stakes program, and $42,000 pots for Kentucky bred maidens make Ellis Park the best place to develop your future champion.
Ghost Sapper's best son, multiple grade one winner Shaman Ghost, will stay in the 2019 breeding season at Edina Springs, Kentucky. A champion and winner of the $1 million Queen's Plate at three, Shaman Ghost went on to capture historic grade ones on both coasts, catapulting him into the Canadian Horse Racing Hall of Fame in 2018.
Shaman Ghost! He has won the Woodward!
Shaman Ghost has beaten Midnight Storm!
Like his sire and grandsire, Awesome Again, Shaman Ghost was bred and raced by Frank Stronach and achieved repeated success at the highest level while earning more than $3.8 million in his career. Additional graded wins by Shaman Ghost include the Brooklyn Invitational, Marine Stakes, and Pimlico Special before defeating the likes of Keen Ice and California Chrome when second to Arrogate in the inaugural $16 million Pegasus World Cup. Shaman Ghost, backed by the strength of Edina, standing in Kentucky in 2019. And available for inspection now.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
The field turns for home. Deputy Jane West here in a tangle with Sky Beauty. And the rail is opened up for Fortunate Faith as they come to the eighth pole. Deputy Jane West running a brave race today. Sky Beauty is brave as well, and she's in front. It is Sky Beauty. But here comes Future Pretense closing hard. And Silky Feather is there. And Fortunate Faith. And Sky Beauty is the leader. Where Future Pretense and Sky Beauty. Jubilant Mike Smith. Future Pretense was second, and Silky Feather was third.
Welcome back. Mike Penna with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here in the month of August. Sky Beauty, Tom Durkin with the call. 25 years ago, Sky Beauty winning the 1993 running of the Alabama. I'm pretty sure I was there. I know I have pictures of Sky Beauty in my photo albums. I still have them to this day. I would just go over there with a camera, and when I wasn't betting, I would take pictures of horses in the post parade, and I know I had multiple Sky Beauty pictures. I was a massive fan. Mike Smith won that race in 93 with Sky Beauty. Again, 25 years ago. It was the first of five victories in the race, three consecutive, actually. Mike came back in 94 with Heavenly Prize, won it in 95 with Pretty Discreet, and then won it two more times, 2000 with Jostle, and then came back with Songbird just a couple of years ago in 2016. He is tied with fellow Hall of Famers Georgie Velasquez and Jerry Bailey with five victories. Today, he can stand alone atop that list as he gets a leg up on the favorite, Midnight Bisou, who will race in the red and white colors of Bloom Racing. And our good friend Jeff Bloom joins us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jeff, happy Alabama Day, my friend.
Yes, sir, Mikey. It wasn't easy getting here, but happy to be here in Saratoga.
Did you have a few travel troubles?
You know the drill. This rain, freaking heaven. But we got here nonetheless, and it's Alabama Day.
Is it raining now, or is the forecast pretty good?
You know, I think it's kind of like drizzling just a little bit. We're supposed to get another smattering of thunderstorms here in the next hour or so. And from what I hear, it's supposed to clear up. And chances are that we might even have close to a fast track by the time the Alabama rolls around.
Well, good. And you know, you look back at the past performances of Midnight Bisou. She has been on a wet track before. It was labeled wet fast when she won the Santa Isabel at Santa Anita on March 3rd. So any concerns if that rain would linger and you'd have a little bit of a wet track, or does that give you some confidence that, yeah, we're okay to go there too?
I mean, look, as far as we're concerned, we just want a nice, fair, safe track. Our filly has run over and off track, and she handled it well. She trains well over and off track. So, you know, more than anything, we're just excited for the race to get here. The conditions will be what they will. They all have to run over it. But, certainly she's shown us that she's got some versatility, and it probably wouldn't bother her too much.
How happy are you to look at the past performances and not see the name Monomoy Girl in there?
Well, she's quite a filly, obviously. But, you know, they don't give these grade ones away, Mike. It's fun to be the morning line favorite, and we come into this race with a lot of confidence, but there's some nice fillies in here as well. And, you know, it's like I said, these grade ones are never easy. And, you know, to have some of the standouts in the division not be in the race today certainly doesn't bother me.
You know, I think I said that she was going to race in your red and white colors, but that's not the case, right? She's going to be wearing the blue and pink and the blue cap of, is it Mattaket Stables?
Mattaket Stables of Saul Kumin. And thanks for reminding me. it's going to be pretty strange, you know, to see our filly out there in the silks of Mattaket. But, yeah, this was a kind of a one-race deal that we had agreed to when Saul got involved with us in the filly. And, you know, it's the Alabama's a race that has a lot of history, and it's a very prestigious race, and this is one of the things that Saul and I agreed to. So in any event, whatever silk she has on, we'll be excited to see her out there and hopefully taking our picture in those silks.
You know, that's fascinating because I remember that you and Saul were nice enough to stop by our location during Derby week. And as Monomoy Girl and Midnight Bisou were getting ready to square off as the two favorites in the Kentucky Oaks, we talked about your relationship and how close the two of you were. Of course, Saul, part owner, and Monomoy Girl as well. And he wasn't an owner in Midnight Bisou at that time, but he has since bought in afterwards. Interesting dynamic here. I know you're close friends. I guess you figured if you can't beat them, join them.
Well, you know, and it's great to have Saul involved with us on this filly. And Saul and I had you know, a bunch of fun, of course, leading up to and running through the Kentucky Oaks with our two respective fillies. He's a big fan, clearly, of Midnight Bisou. And as you know, from paying attention to the races day in, day out, Saul likes to be involved with top-notch horses, both on the filly and colt division side. So Midnight Bisou definitely is a filly that's atop the top portion of the division. And so it made sense for Saul to participate. And we still have a lot of fun with the fact that, you know, the year isn't over. And we do look forward to another matchup and opportunity to turn the tables on Monomoy Girl. And, I mean, if you're in Saul's shoes, I mean, it's different for me since I don't have a piece of Monomoy Girl. But you'd wonder where his rooting interest would be.
Any thought of doing that?
Well, look, I mean, we think we have a filly that has every right to win a race that Monomoy Girl is in. And, you know, if you throw the Kentucky Oaks out in terms of the tough trip that we had and not really getting a great race scenario set up for us in the coaching club, you know, at the end of the day, it's scoreboard and she's 2-0 against us right now. But we could certainly see something happening here as the remainder of the year plays out, especially with the finish at the end of the year in the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, I guess what I was asking was any thought of buying a little piece of Monomoy Girl?
Oh, well, we'll probably stick with our girl, but you never know. I'm never going to say never, right?
You know,
like you said, you know, it wasn't that long ago when I was drawing funny faces on the cover of Saul's picture and the radio interview. So you never know how things are going to play out.
Jeff Bloom, Bloom Racing, with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He has the favorite in today's Grade 1 Alabama. Again, you can catch our coverage beginning 5 o'clock Eastern, 5 to 6. Anthony Stabile, Acacia Courtney, Mike Beer, all positioned at Saratoga for that coverage. 5 to 6 Eastern, Sirius XM 93, and streaming worldwide, horseracingradio.net. Jeff, I know she's by Midnight Loot, so I get the midnight part, but where did the rest of the name come from?
Yeah, that was a partner, Lori Allen. We were, I think, you know, and we always talk about this horse. Oh, we have to come up with a name for this horse, and I think she was another one of the ones where it was like, you know, we got to get a name in, and Lori was tasked with throwing something out there, and she thought, well, this sounds classy. This sounds like it fits our filly, and I was like, yep, let's do it. You know, that's how it came together, and the whole Midnight Kiss, Midnight Bisou thing has stuck really well in it. You know, it's that whole thing. You know, you couldn't imagine her with a different name now.
Yeah. Yeah. Ken McPeak joined me in the previous segment talking about Eskimo Kisses. And he said, you know, we always felt like this could be her best distance, this mile and a quarter. And, you know, you hear that a lot and people never really know until they do it. Right. Midnight Bizou also challenging or taking on that mile and a quarter for the first time. Your thoughts on the distance? And obviously you wouldn't be running her if you didn't think that this would be right in her wheelhouse.
Yeah, Mike. Well, we always felt that she would relish the added distance. She certainly runs like a filly that benefits greatly from the added distance so far in how we've seen her perform. And so it's like you said, the question gets answered on the racetrack for these horses that have never done that distance of ground. And while a mile and an eighth to a mile and a quarter may not sound or seem like a lot, it's a big separator for horses, as we know, that classic distance. It's a pretty big difference. So we think our filly really will appreciate the added distance. She acts like a horse who really will. And there's been no indication in her, you know, past races that would indicate otherwise. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, at this classic distance, especially if we have an off track, you might see things, you know, the complexion of the race change a little bit. But fortunately for us with Midnight Bizou, I mean, she's shown so much versatility. And I've talked to our jock, you know, quite a bit about how classy and composed Midnight Bizou is. And she's got speed if you need it. She lays back if you want her to. There's never a point in time where you feel like you're asking her to do something that takes her out of her game. And I think that's one of the big value adds for us, not only in today's race, but in general as things play out and develop for her.
What did Mike Smith tell you after that Coaching Club American Oaks last time out when she was second to Monomoy Girl?
You know, I wasn't here, and Mike called me, you know, as soon as he got back to the jocks room. He was saying, kind of what we all saw, you know, at the half-mile pole, you could really tell that this just wasn't going to be our day because Monomoy Girl is just too talented of a filly to go out there and set relatively modest fractions without pressure. I mean, the fact that she didn't have any pressure really had Mike concerned. The fact that, you know, he was forced to go wide on a track that really wasn't going to benefit horses going wide, again, against a horse that's, you know, clearly the division leader. And then in addition to that, for whatever reason, our filly, and you could see it on TV just watching it, she wasn't on her A game. She felt great and everything, but, you know, she was kind of washy, a little bit perturbed as you know, they were making their way to the starting gate. And usually with Midnight Bizou, if you've ever seen her in the paddock, she's really professional. She's on her toes. She's feeling good. And then when she gets out on the track, Mike kicks his feet out of the irons and she just drops her head down. And she didn't do that day. And it was really hot. So I think all of those little bits of pieces going in amounted to, you know, even though she ran a huge second, considering it wasn't really her best day, and Mike was pretty excited about coming back here and you know, giving it another try.
Well, Mike has won thousands of races in that Hall of Fame career, and so many of the big races that we have in the sport. I referenced at the top of the program that he's looking for a sixth victory, which would be a record in the Alabama. When you're in the paddock with him before the race, he comes out of the jocks room. What's the conversation like? Do you tell him, hey, Mike, look, I was a jockey too. I know what to do, and here's how she should be ridden?
Yeah, that's exactly what I do, Mike. I bring a big list of instructions, and I let him know that he's going to want to listen to me as it relates to how he's going to ride. It's just the opposite in that. One thing, and I've talked about this before with Mike Smith, I mean, you know, having been a rider, but also as a racing fan, Mike Smith just instills so much confidence in terms of giving you that ability to just kick back, sit back, relax, and know that you've got the master. I mean, there's nobody better than Mike Smith in situations like this. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's encouraging too in that Mike's got a lot of options in terms of the horses he gets to ride. Especially if you look at today, it's Pacific Classic Day, and a lot of big races are taking place out at Del Mar. And Mike and his agent had committed to riding Midnight Bizou in the Alabama very early, knowing that, you know, they'd be giving up some significant races. So that, in addition to the fact that nobody's better than Mike Smith in riding races like this. And look, we've seen what he can do with these exceptional fillies, and the fact that you've already pointed out with the win today, he'll be the the leader ever, you know, the most wins ever for a jockey in the Alabama, which would be a nice thing to be able to talk about.
Jeff Bloom, Bloom Racing, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Midnight Bisou set to go to the post as the favorite in this afternoon's Grade 1 Alabama. Jeff, you know, this past year has really been pretty incredible for you. You've had top horses racing in top events all over the country. Snapper Sinclair, who is a horse we became familiar with throughout the road to the Kentucky Derby. He was kind of on the bubble to get into the Derby. Then he had a bit of a setback. You had to take him off the trail. He's now back in training. So many other horses that you've had have been competitive in top races and even winning those. Boy, give us an update on Snapper Sinclair, first of all, and then fill me in on why this is all happening so quickly. It seems like it's been kind of a meteoric rise for you and for Bloom Racing.
Yeah, it's that whole thing when you talk about, like, Hollywood actors who were stars overnight that put in about, you know, 30 years worth of work behind the scenes doing regional commercials and waiting on tables. And so I think it's just, you know, it's a lot of things coming together over time, having spent, you know, 35 years in this industry doing what I love. And you hope that all of that, you know, that knowledge transfers into each component of the job that you're doing in terms of, you know, managing these racehorses and selecting the racehorses. And more importantly, you know, lining yourself up with really good partners, people who believe in you and support what you're doing. And that's, you know, I've been fortunate that that's what I have. I have really good people around me that are on this ride with us, allowing us to do what we do. But getting back to Snapper Sinclair, yeah, we're really excited to have Snapper back. He's not only just a real fun personality, but as you know, he's a whisker away from beating Bravazo in that in the Risen Star, and so he's got an exciting future ahead of him, and it's fun to have him back. We've got a real nice colt that won first time out, Henley's Joy, that we're looking to bring back in the same race Snapper won last year over at Kentucky Downs in the Kentucky Downs Juvenile Championship. So some real fun things going on, and it's exciting, and we're really appreciative of the support and the confidence we have with our partners, and hopefully we can cap things off, not finish off the year, but certainly put a nice stamp on it today with a Grade 1 Alabama.
Yeah, I was out at the Keeneland Track Kitchen yesterday with a mutual friend of ours, Stuart Morris, one of the really good consigners in the sport that we have today. And we were talking about Henley's Joy, actually, because if I'm not mistaken, didn't Henley's Joy come through his program?
Yeah, that's in the Small World department. Stuart actually sold the horse as a baby.
Yep, that's what I thought. Yeah, pretty cool stuff. Yeah, a major player there and a major player today in the Grade 1 Alabama. Jeff, look, buddy, all the best today. Let's go get it done. Grade 1 Alabama, it'd be kind of cool to see Bloom Racing associated with that one.
Thanks so much, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right. Jeff Bloom, Bloom Racing. Of course, you can catch him here on the network. He's part of our broadcast team for many of the big races, but his his priority has to be on Bloom Racing Stable, because you just heard him talk about so many of the top horses that they have in training now, and they really, really are on a roll. You can go to bloomracing.com if you want to learn more. But Midnight Bisou, yeah, 7-5 on the morning line. Mike Smith looking for a sixth victory in the race. And how about that? Think about that for a minute. 25 years ago, his first win with Sky Beauty. And he's still here, and he's still competing at the highest level. Now, Mike doesn't ride nearly as many horses as he used to. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to anymore. He picks and chooses his spots, gets on horses, big-time horses like Arrowgate and Justify and Midnight Bisou. Zenyatta. Just some of the recent names. Songbird. The list goes on and on. One of the classiest guys that you meet in the sport of thoroughbred racing, and so is Jeff Bloom. So all the best to that team coming up later this afternoon at Grade 1 Alabama. And again, if you're just joining us, our coverage, 5 to 6 Eastern, Sirius XM 93. And you can also stream us on your mobile device, on your computer, Bluetooth us in your car at horseracingradio.net. All that coverage coming your way, 5 to 6 Eastern. Going to get to one more break here in the first hour. I'll come back. I'm going to tell you about a new restaurant that's opening in Indianapolis, believe it or not, of all places. Yeah, I'm going to tell you about that next. and then I'm going to get you set for the second half of the show. Stay with me on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, fully stretched but keeping Chocolate Canyon Bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Dolez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Amaliant for Mike Smith with a huge run in this grade one.
Gainesway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. And Empire Maker yearlings averaged $400,000 at the Basic Tipton Saratoga sale.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
How do New York breds perform? They win in world-class company. From Grade 1 races in Dubai, where New York-sired New York bred Mind Your Biscuits won the Golden Shaheen for a second time, to Belmont adding to his status as the richest New York bred with a close second in the Met Mile. The Belmont Festival saw two more New York breds become millionaires, four-star crook in the New York Stakes, and world record setter Disco Partner with a repeat victory in the Jaipur. New York breds, get with the program.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Practical Joke always showed a lot of ability. He showed a lot of heart, a lot of determination. Right from the first breeze, he identified himself as one of the best in his crop.
Practical Joke down to the wire, the champagne!
Practical Joke took both the hopeful and the champagne stake. He's a fast, tough, precocious two-year-old, trained on, showed even better form at three.
It is Practical Joke in the Allen Jerkins.
He's going to be a horse that no commercial breeder can leave off their list.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Penna, back with you. Flying solo this morning on the Equine Forum. The Pontiff will be back with me next week as we head northward. Back to the spa to bring you our exclusive radio coverage of the Midsummer Derby, the Travers. It all begins next Saturday, 4 o'clock Eastern, here on HRRN. Make sure you're tuned in and visit our website, horseracingradio.net, for a list of affiliates, SiriusXM channel information, and to listen worldwide. You can catch us live from Saratoga next Saturday, and it's going to be a super Saturday. Boy, tremendous afternoon of thoroughbred racing. You've got the Travers, you've got the Sword Dancer, the Forgo, all part of a tremendous program, the Personal Ensign, the Ballerina, the H. Allen Jerkins Memorial, and the Ballston Spa. And you're going to hear pretty much all those grade ones with us on our coverage next Saturday. Hey, so if you're looking, I tell you this, and I've been telling you this for a few years now. If you're looking when you're in town here in Lexington, or if you are locally based, for that restaurant to take clients or to go out for a special night, just to have an unbelievable meal, just to go and hang out and have an unbelievable meal, there's only one place to go, and it's Tony's of Lexington. In my opinion, and I consider myself a bit of a steak connoisseur, the best steak that I have had in all of our travels anywhere, and it's Tony's of Lexington. And now, Tony's opening a third location. He has one in Lexington. He has one in Cincinnati. And now opening in Indianapolis. So you can visit Tony's of Indianapolis starting on September 4th. That is when they will open their doors to the public. And Tony's of Indianapolis, no doubt going to be a massive hit in that particular city. Has to be. Has to be. It's just so good. So make sure you keep an eye out for that. If you're traveling that direction, if you're listening to us in the Indianapolis area, you're going to be in the area in early September or anytime thereafter. Tony's of Indianapolis is the place to visit for an unbelievable meal. I promise you, you'll be emailing me, you'll be tweeting to me, and you'll be thanking me for that recommendation. All right, second half of the program features John Sadler talking about his Pacific Classic favorite, Accelerate. And we're going to be joined by Craig Dato, who is the executive vice president of Del Mar and the chief marketing officer. He's going to be with us to tell you about what you can look forward to from the entire day this afternoon. You have a couple of win and you're in races. You have the Pacific Classic. You have the Del Mar Handicap, the Classic, a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Classic. And, of course, the Del Mar Handicap, a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Turf Division. But he'll tell you about all the different promotions, everything that's happening there, a special ceremony taking place. Don't want to steal his thunder. So he'll join me coming up toward the end of the programming, toward the end of the program at 9:40 Eastern. You're also going to hear from Brent Elliott, the master distiller at Four Roses Bourbon here in the Bluegrass. And the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, will be with me for our Philly Focus segment presented by Paramount Sales as we lock in on the Alabama Stakes at Saratoga and those outstanding fillies set to go to the post later today. By the way, post time for the Alabama, 5:40 Eastern time. Going to pause 10 seconds for station identification, then come back with hour number two. Stay with me. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
Audible by three. Hofburg can't get him. Mississippi is third. Five Florida Derbies for Todd Pletcher. Audible, no doubt about it. He won it by 2.5.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And here's Athena and Ryan Moore on the far outside, and suddenly they've gone by them all. Athena to the front, and she's pulling away late. And Athena will win the Belmont Oaks by 3 lengths on the wire.
Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence. And it's all right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. You'll hear from him later in the hour, but he's enjoying a little time off at the spa this weekend. So I'm flying solo here on the program. Happy to have you back with me. Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And all of you listening on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, welcome back to the program. Threw out a poll question at the top of the show, considering the fact that the Breeders' Cup announced yesterday the various racetracks that will be hosting future Breeders' Cup events. It will go to Santa Anita in 2019, next year, back to the Great Race Place, then back here to the Bluegrass, to Keeneland in 2020, and then back out to Del Mar in 2021. So the poll question, and you can vote, and the votes are coming in here at HRRN on Twitter, which racetrack has been your favorite Breeders' Cup venue? And I left it open-ended like that because I wanted to give you the opportunity to weigh in on tracks that might not even be in existence anymore, like Hollywood Park, for example, or even a Lone Star Park or a Gulfstream that, before it was remodeled, hosted the Breeders' Cup. So here's the way it's shaping up right now. It looks like thumbing through the results. We have Keeneland, we have Del Mar, we have Santa Anita. Another Keeneland vote, another Santa Anita vote, and Churchill Downs. So it looks like Keeneland and Santa Anita are in a bit of a tussle right now for the top spot. Want to hear from you, though. Weigh in now at HRN on Twitter. Which racetrack has been your favorite Breeders' Cup venue? Let me know, and we'll pass along some final results later in the program. Just got to vote in for Belmont Park, and that's why I left it open-ended. We don't see it return to New York very often anymore, which I think is a shame. I'd love to see it come back to the Empire State, but Belmont Park, you know, the problem you have with a venue like that, I guess it's the same thing you run into here in Kentucky, but more so further north that you go with early November. The weather is such a crapshoot. The weather can be a crapshoot here. You remember that at Keeneland in 2015, it was chilly. Our broadcast position that day was outside the Breeders' Cup offices, just past the finish line. It was a pretty nice spot, but it was an open air setting. Let me tell you, it was chilly. We had gloves on. We were bundled up as much as we could be. Some of the Breeders' Cups that have been held at Churchill Downs have also been somewhat chilly. You just don't know what you're going to get at that time of the year, which, in my opinion, makes venues like Santa Anita just a slam dunk for the Breeders' Cup. If Gulfstream was bigger, it would be amazing to have the Breeders' Cup in South Florida in early November. At Del Mar, weather-wise, you can't beat it. Right? You can't beat it at that time of year. But Santa Anita, to me, is kind of the perfect venue. Not only is it absolutely gorgeous with the San Gabriel Mountains as your backdrop and that awesome turf course, Clocker's Corner, there's so many things to love about Santa Anita, but the size of that venue just makes it the perfect place for an event like the Breeders' Cup that is considered to be the Super Bowl of horse racing. If I'm not mistaken, when the Breeders' Cup was there in 2016, I think at that time it was a record two-day crowd, maybe 118,000 is the number I think I read. And that racetrack can accommodate that. Keeneland can't accommodate that kind of a crowd over 2 days. I think their total was, it was solid. It was 98 or somewhere in there over the 2 days when it was here in 2015. Del Mar can't accommodate that type of crowd. But they're awesome venues. They just can't handle that big of a crowd. They're not that big of a facility, which to me makes Santa Anita tailor-made. You have the weather, which is gorgeous in early November. You have the size of the venue, perfect for an event like the Breeders' Cup. So weigh in now at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Let me know which racetrack has been your favorite Breeders' Cup venue. I told you next Saturday, we are going to head to Travers, to Saratoga for the Travers Stakes. And the Midsummer Derby is shaping up to be one heck of a horse race. Going into the Kentucky Derby, before we brought you that coverage here on the network, we were talking about the depth and the quality of this class of three-year-olds. I don't think that's changed. And people will judge three-year-olds and say, okay, it's a good crop, it's a bad crop, before the Kentucky Derby. I don't think you can do that. I've never thought that you could judge three-year-olds before the Kentucky Derby or even through the Triple Crown. I think you have to wait till later in the year when they start facing older horses and maybe even into next year to see how they develop as older horses to say, look back and say, okay, that was a good three-year-old crop. So now we're left with a void. Because the Triple Crown winner, Justify, is retired. And by the way, very popular at Windstar Farm from everything that I'm reading. And he should be. So, Good Magic is the horse that a lot of people are looking to. He's the juvenile champion. Just won the Haskell. He's the horse that a lot of people are looking to pick up that baton and become the leader in the three-year-old division. We're going to see him next week in the Travers. We'll see if Good Magic can live up to some of that lofty billing and the expectations that have been placed upon him since he won last year's Breeders' Cup as a maiden. You have Vino Rosso from the barn of Todd Pletcher. Never discount Todd Pletcher in the Travers Stakes or any big race. So you have Vino Rosso. You have King Zachary, who is a bit of an outsider. He's going to have to step it up. You have Hofberg, who is impressive in winning the Curlin. Mendelssohn, who is a horse that was the buzz horse going into the Kentucky Derby after that massive win in the UAE Derby. He's got to prove that he can return to that form and be the Mendelssohn that everybody expects him to be. He could be dangerous. Gronkowski, who ran that massive race in the Belmont Stakes to be second behind Justify. We're looking at him coming back again, pointing for the Travers. Bravazo. Here's Bravazo again for the coach, Dwayne Lucas, who is as good as it gets as pulling a rabbit out of a hat. And let's face it, Bravazo doesn't get the respect that he deserves. He was a hard-knocking horse through those Triple Crown races. You got Catholic Boy from the barn of Jonathan Thomas, who's pointing for the Travers. And then you have the filly. You have the filly Wonder Godot, winner of the first two legs of the Canadian Triple Crown. Could have gone for the third leg, tried to, and probably would have been a massive favorite, probably would have won the Canadian Triple Crown. The connections, Mark Cassie, Gary Barber deciding, you know what? That would be nice, but we want to take our shot at being three-year-old filly champion here in the States. And I'm assuming this is what's behind the thought process. If she beats the boys in the Travers and then can find a way to come back and reverse the tables on Monomoy Girl in a race like the Breeders' Cup Distaff, let's say, in November, I think you got to look at Wonder Godot. With as good as Monomoy Girl has been, I think you got to look at her resume and say, yeah, she's going to get some votes in that category. But this is a big race for her. And she's going to need to step it up. She's going to need a massive effort. She's going to need to be Wonder Woman to win the Travers. But Mark Cassie thinks that she is. And from all reports, she is doing extremely well, training well over the track up there. She's a great storyline in the Travers. And, of course, tenfold Steve Asmussen. All he did was win the Jim Dandy, although he was running like a bit of a snake through the lane there. But you know what? He's a really talented horse. And if he puts it all together next Saturday, he could be the one standing in the winner's circle after the Midsummer Derby. Going to be a good one. Again, our coverage begins 4 o'clock Eastern here on the network next Saturday. Make sure you join us for that. Going to get to another break. When I come back, we're going to turn our attention to the Pacific Classic. You're going to hear from John Sadler, who saddles the morning line favorite Accelerate in this afternoon's race. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
When you're competing at the grade one level, you need an edge.
As Competitive Edge goes on with it now to take over the lead.
And it's Competitive Edge with the lead.
His edge was speed.
Competitive Edge, the winner by 4.5 lengths.
Opening up to lead by 3, now by 4. Competitive Edge, spectacular once again.
The best 2-year-old by Kentucky Derby winner Super Saver. Competitive Edge.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry. For over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They are coming to the quarter pole and game on, dude. Set sail for home. And it's game on, dude, being confidently ridden. He's clear by three big lengths at the top of the lane in the Pacific Classic. And it's all game on, dude. Delegation Geronimo behind that. Richard's Kid running on late. But this is total domination. We are looking at a walkover. Game on, dude. Martin Garcia and Bob Baffert romp in the Pacific Classic. Four-way photo for second. Kettle Corn, you know I know. Holding Glory ran a big one at the rail, and then Richard's Kid.
Trevor Denman with the call of that 2013 Pacific Classic. Game on, dude. One of two horses to win the Santa Anita Handicap, the Gold Cup, and the Pacific Classic in the same year. Lava Man, the other, who did it in 2006. That's exactly what Accelerate will try to do when he goes postward as the likely favorite in this afternoon's Pacific Classic at Del Mar. John Sadler, the trainer of Accelerate, joined Big A, Anthony Stabile, on Express Bet Radio yesterday afternoon. Going to play that entire interview for you here in just a minute, but want to remind you that hay season is now here, and that makes now the time to save on hard-working hay tools. For a limited time, you can enjoy extra savings on select John Deere mower conditioners and round balers. All you have to do is pay a visit to your local John Deere dealer to learn more and be prepared with tough and reliable equipment. The offer ends October 26th of 2018. You can see your John Deere dealer for qualifying products and complete details. Now, here's another way to take advantage of this opportunity. You can call 866-678-4289. That's 866-678-4289. And find out how you can get an equine discount of, how about this, 28%, up to 28%, off new John Deere equipment. It's that simple. You call 866-678-4289, and you can learn about getting your equine discount of up to 28% on new John Deere equipment. From tractors and mowers to gators and haying equipment, John Deere has everything you would need for your horse farm. So call today or stop in to your local John Deere dealer and ask them about those equine discounts. All right, I told you John Sadler set to send out the likely favorite in today's Pacific Classic, Accelerate. Yesterday, he talked with Anthony Stabile on our Express Bet Radio show.
Joined now by trainer John Sadler. He has Accelerate tomorrow afternoon. in the Pacific Classic. Hey, John, welcome to Express Bet Radio. Thanks for some time today.
Yeah, good afternoon.
John Sadler has his big cap. How did that feel back in March?
I felt very good. You know, I'm a California guy. I've been based here my whole career, born and raised in Pasadena. So Big Cap's an iconic race, and we were very happy to win it.
He has really seemed to accelerate, has a little bit of a different horse. Acacia talked about this a little earlier. The blinkers have really seemed to have turned the light bulb on first time last year in the San Diego, and of course he famously upset Arrogate in that grade two at Del Mar. Talk a little bit about what those blinkers have done for his career.
Yeah, it definitely helped him. You know, he was running some good numbers early last year, running second and third in some big races, and he kind of ran a flat race, and I thought, okay, now's the time to try blinkers on him. And it seems to put him up in the race a little earlier. He had a tendency to fall out the back for a while, a few times without him. So it just kind of sharpened him up. You know, he's also a year older now. He's a stronger horse, and he's been thriving. So, you know, the equipment is important, but it's also how well he's doing as a horse.
And he came off of a grade one win last time out. That last race was the end of May. He's been getting a little bit of a break since then, training up to the Pacific Classic instead of fitting another race in between. John, what have you seen from him training in the mornings? He's had some impressive 6 and 7 furlong works over the course at Del Mar.
Yeah, well, he's trained really well down here, so I've been very pleased. It's not been an easy track down here this summer. It's been a little slow. If you look at the times in the mornings and the afternoons. So for him to work so well of it is really encouraging. Although, you know, we know he won a stake here at 3. He won a stake here at 4. So we think he handles this track well. You know, it's kind of a tall order, you know, to be have this little more spacing than maybe ideal. But, you know, he's had a lot of races already this year. He's got 2 more big ones after this one. So I think for the overall campaign, it was good to have a little break from the Big Cap to the Pacific Classic.
Since the blinkers have gone on, he's been ridden in all of his starts, save one, by Hall of Famer Victor Espinoza. Victor, of course, out with a back injury. And Joel Rosario going to come in to ride him for the first time. Somebody you're certainly familiar with. You guys have won plenty of races together.
Yeah, we won a lot of races together. Lots and lots of races. We won a title here. I think the last time he was here, I was leading trainer and he was leading jockey. So I have a good relationship with him. And, you know, he's a big race rider. He's a strong rider. So I'm excited to have him, you know, riding Accelerate. And I think, you know, I was thinking about this today. You know, at 1.25 miles, I think you should have plenty of time to get position and ride a good race. I don't think he's a hard horse to ride, per se. He has a good style. You know, he likes to kind of stalk the pace a little bit. So, you know, I got my fingers crossed that everything goes well with him tomorrow afternoon. And Joel certainly will have a long talk tomorrow morning.
Well, you mentioned how the blinkers seem to get him involved in the race a little bit more. Looking at this race on paper beforehand, how do you see the pace kind of playing out? And you mentioned Accelerate liking to stalk. Would you be upset if he ended up on the lead?
No, not at all. I mean, he can win on the lead if he has to. It doesn't look like there's a tremendous amount of speed in here. I imagine the speed might be Dr. Dorr, who's fairly quick at times. So I think he'll be eyeballing whoever's in front. Not eyeballing him, but, you know, have him within a couple lengths of him. I think he'll keep an eye on the front end and just kind of be around there. And he's got a really good kick. You know, he went the last quarter, I think, in 24 the other day after a mile, you know. So he's got a nice turn of foot at the end.
He's such, and we'll talk about John Sadler, trainer of Accelerate, the morning line favorite for tomorrow's Pacific Classic out at Del Mar. He's such a model of consistency, John, not to crash the party. What happened in the Breeders' Cup?
Came out of the race with kind of a quarter crack. Came out with a very sore foot, you know, and we were really disappointed. I was crushed, obviously, but he did have an excuse with a foot that was bothering him. We took care of that. We did the diagnostics. You know, we put them through an MRI and x-rayed them, kind of like we do with a lot of these good horses at the end of the year. And he kind of passed all that stuff. So once he was, we got the foot taken care of and he was training forwardly, we went on to this year. And he's been, you know, really a pleasant surprise that he's better than he was at four. So that's been a really fun thing to see.
You know, you mentioned him coming back this year. He gets his two grade one wins as a five-year-old. Diversify, grade one winner this year as a five-year-old. Mind Your Biscuits, grade one winner this year, shows up every time he runs as a five-year-old. Are you guys trying to show the sport what you can do when you leave a horse in training in their five-year-old year?
Well, you know, I mean, that's all on a kind of a case-by-case basis, you know. We like to race the horses if they're in good health, and they we kind of let them tell us. You know, he was saying, okay, I'm ready to go for another year. We certainly thought he could do more. He was a little bit of a late foal, so he didn't get to the races at two. So he's really not, a hard-used horse. So we take it as a case-to-case basis. And if the horses are running good, we like to let them run. That's why we're here.
Ooh, it's been great following Accelerate, and you have another nice horse in the barn as the two stablemates have been getting all of the attention in California. Catalina Cruiser coming off of a big win as well. How's he doing?
Doing great. He had a bull at work here at Del Mar today. He worked 12-2. Really looks sensational. Very talented horse. He might be headed to Saratoga. We'll decide in the next couple of days. But he's a very good horse. Also, only had three races, but he's a beast.
Yeah, you kind of answered my next question. My follow-up to that was when you have a horse like Catalina Cruiser in the barn as well, who has been just simply brilliant and breathtaking on the racetrack. You mentioned Accelerate having two more big ones after this, provided all goes well tomorrow. Is that awesome again in Breeders' Cup with the eye on Catalina Cruiser coming to Saratoga for the Woodward?
Yeah, that's kind of the plan, you know. Definitely the awesome again in the Breeders' Cup Classics, what we have for Accelerate. Catalina Cruiser, you know, our plan kind of, you know, has been to, you know, shoot for the mile this year and then the Classic next year. But, you know, and this is, you know, it's a day-to-day with horses, so we'll see how everything plays out, but that's kind of what we're thinking.
Well, John, thanks for some time today. I know you're busy. You got post time at Del Mar is just about an hour and 20 minutes away on the Twilight Friday. Best of luck with Accelerate tomorrow, and hope to see you out here for the Woodward or the Forgo with Catalina Cruiser.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Just turn off the water over there, okay?
We'd love that, too.
Please, you're preaching to the congregation, my friend. Thanks, John.
Right,
thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye.
All right, John Sadler talking with Big A, Anthony Stabile, and the Little A, Acacia Courtney, on Express Bet Radio yesterday afternoon here on HRRN. And, Accelerate, deserving favorite, 8-5 on the morning line, and he's going to be the favorite in this afternoon's Pacific Classic. I love some of the storylines in here, too. Look, you can't ever talk about a big race, it seems like, without talking about Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. He has a couple of horses entered in the Pacific Classic this afternoon. Dr. Door, and he has the Argentinian making his U.S. debut, the four-year-old son of Roman Ruler, that's Roman Rosso. Flavian Pratt is going to be aboard. If Bob can win it, he already has five wins in the Pacific Classic. If he can win it, he'll win it for a sixth time, and he will join Bobby Frankel, the late Bobby Frankel, at the top of the list with six victories in the Pacific Classic. Bob's first came in 1999 with General Challenge. He came back last year with Collected, won number five. How good is that guy? Unbelievable. And, of course, the winner of the Pacific Classic today punching their ticket to the Breeders' Cup Classic. They will join Diversify, Pavel, Good Magic, and Nonkono Yumi as winners of Classic Challenge races this year. So all four of those horses automatically qualified for a spot in the starting gate in early November, and we'll see which horse comes out of the Pacific Classic today to join them. All right, it is time for your monthly visit with our good friends at Four Roses Bourbon, which is situated right here in the heart of horse country in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Since 1888, Four Roses has been made with the same passion and handcrafted as only they can. And this interview, much like the iconic bourbon, handcrafted by Four Roses. Today, I have the privilege of visiting once again with Brent Elliott, who is the master distiller and quality director with Four Roses. Brent, when we say master distiller, what does that term mean?
You know, that's a term that it's evolved a little bit in the last couple of years. You know, historically, it was really just fundamentally the person running the still, you know, running the distillery day in and day out. And today it means a lot of different things. Like in my particular role, I deal a lot on, probably more so on the back end of what's being produced, you know, choosing barrels, selecting batches. Of course, looking at the quality from beginning to end, but a lot of the focus is deciding what goes into the bottle, making sure that what goes into the bottle, whether it's the Four Roses bourbon, small batch, or single barrel, is the correct batches, the batches are the right quality, the right proportions, it's consistent. It's about the quality of what's in the bottle. And something else, when I say it's really changed in the last few years, you know, with the resurgence or the popularity of bourbon now, a lot of people want to know about bourbon. So as brands, we want to represent our brand in the best way that we can, and that's how master distillers are being utilized now. So I spend a lot of my time talking to the public, traveling, entertaining guests, doing seminars, dinners, and just anything you can imagine just to help almost be more of an ambassador.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere where you were quoted as saying that you can be somewhat reserved until it comes to talking about bourbon and telling people about Four Roses.
Yes.
How come?
Well, my background's chemistry. I've always been a science person. I always kind of figured I'd be stuck somewhere doing my own thing. But, you know, I think by my nature is more introverted than extroverted for sure. So I would have probably cringed and not believed you if you'd told me 20 years ago that part of my job would be every fourth week I'd be out, you know, traveling, talking to groups of 50, 100, 200 people. I wouldn't have believed you in the first place. Then it would have ruined my day. I just couldn't imagine doing something like that. And I probably still couldn't if you said you're going to go out and let's go talk about anything other than bourbon. I couldn't do it. But you know, something that I'm passionate about, that I know about, that I love to share with people, and it's just amazing how much people want to learn about it. So it's just like you plug in, you get out, and you start talking to people, and the questions start flowing, and automatically, you know, I want to answer the questions. I want to talk about the brand, the product, the industry. And I guess what it comes down to is when you love what you do, it becomes fun, and it's not really a job anymore.
So what are some of the things that you want people to know about Four Roses when you do go out and talk with them?
I always try to impress the, you know, our uniqueness, which we've talked about. I like to talk about the history. I'm not the brand historian, but, you know, even in my 12 and a half, 13 years here with the company, we've seen a lot of change. And I like to talk about that. You know, the growth in the U.S. has been phenomenal. When I started in 2005, we were just doing, you know, a few thousand cases in one or two states. And within a few years, we were expanded to all 50 states. And, but even, well, let me back up. When I started, if you looked at Four Roses sales globally, we've always been a not the biggest company. We've been one of the major distilleries, but you wouldn't know it here in the U.S. because we haven't really had a presence as a bourbon. But if you go, even today, if you go to Europe or Japan, we're one of the top selling bourbons. We're on all the back bars. We're everywhere. So when I started, the U.S. market was at the very bottom of the list as far as sales volume. You had Japan, you had France, you had Spain, the rest of Europe. And way down at the bottom was the U.S. That was 2005. In 2015, the U.S. market overtook the Japanese market in sales, which 15 years ago, that would have been unheard of.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And then the following year, we overtook all of Europe combined. So just in the brief history from when I've been here, you know, it's just been remarkable. The growth, both internally, when I started, we didn't have a sales and marketing department. We had one person who did all of that. We didn't have an HR department. We had one person that basically took care of payroll. We had the master distiller. We had a distillery manager. We had me. It was like a skeleton crew. We really had, because we had no sales in the U.S.
Yeah, what a difference 13 years makes.
I know it. Yeah, we have departments. Who would have thought?
Unbelievable.
You know, we're a real company. It's really been exciting just to see how far we've come in a short period of time.
Brent Elliott, he is the master distiller and quality director here at Four Roses. You can learn more by visiting fourrosesbourbon.com. Fourrosesbourbon.com is the website there to visit Four Roses, and I highly recommend it. What an outstanding product. When we come back, going to be joined by the Pontiff of the Pick Four for our Philly Focus presented by Paramount Sales and Craig Dato from Del Mar talking more Pacific Classic. Stay with me. It's the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Eclipse champion Blade is having a breakout year in 2018. Among the nation's leading sires of stakes horses, his recent top runners include Fault, Moreau, Marley's Freedom, Beyond Blame, and Miss Kentucky. He's also making a name for himself internationally with French Classic winner Sengler. And with yearlings bringing up to $350,000, this three-time Grade 1 winner offers outstanding value. Blame, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
How do New York Breds perform? They win in world-class company. From Grade 1 races in Dubai, where New York-sired New York Bred Mind Your Biscuits won the Golden Shaheen for a second time, to Belmont adding to his status as the richest New York Bred with a close second in the Met Mile. The Belmont Festival saw two more New York Breds become millionaires, four-star crook in the New York Stakes, and world record setter Disco Partner with a repeat victory in the Jaipur. New York Breds, get with the program.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
It's Duchessoa showing his mettle with a debut win on Million Day. Duchessoa won going away.
It's Tanga Rose by about a length and a half down to the wire, and the favorite is safely home in Tanga Rose.
Darley Stallion Animal Kingdom was represented by two debut maiden special weight winners on Saturday when three-year-old colt Duchessoa won at First Asking at Arlington Park, and two-year-old filly Tanga Rose won her debut at Woodbine. She is now the third Stronach homebred juvenile to win first time out for Animal Kingdom this month. Duchessoa and Tanga Rose are your Darley Taking the Reins Performers of the Week. Darley Stallion Animal Kingdom, a champion three-year-old who possessed unique talent as a Grade 1 horse on dirt, turf, and synthetic. Learn more about Animal Kingdom and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
I'm three-time Derby winning jockey Gary Stevens.
This is Rosie Napravnik.
Hi, my name is Sean Bridgman.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia, and I listen to Horse Racing Radio.
This is the Philly Focus.
Forever together as one, a thriller. Take charge, Brandy, in a stunner. Call back, held on to it.
Presented by Paramount Sales, the new force in thoroughbred sales.
All right, rolling on. Busy morning here on the Equine Forum. Mike Penna, now joined by my usual entry mate. You know him as the Pontiff of the Pick Four, who is enjoying a little R&R at the Spa this afternoon. And JT, big race to look at today in the Philly Focus. It's the Alabama. What a race that's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting race. A nice field for this grade one, headed up by Midnight Bisou, who's owned by our friend and colleague Jeff Bloom, Bloom Racing, and Mattakit Stables et al. So it's a cool race and a very historic race. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, obviously she's going to be the huge favorite at 7-5 on the morning line, but is she that good where we look at her and say, okay, this might be a race where we just kind of watch and enjoy what we're going to see, or is there somebody that you think could legitimately upset the apple cart?
Well, she's a very talented filly. My only concern with her is getting a mile and a quarter. She has not been able to get a mile and an eighth. She's finished second and third in her 2 mile and eighth races. She's lost ground in the stretch in both. So I think the mile and a quarter might be a stretch for her, but her quality may be able to see her through. If I was looking for an upsetter, I would take the outside horse, Tak Vuv, to me, who was very impressive in her last start, winning the Grade 3 Indiana Oaks. Now, granted, she didn't beat much in that field. She was basically racing against the clock, but her race was visually impressive. She's a daughter of Violence, who's had a tremendous year as a stallion, and she's out of a point-given mare. So her pedigree would indicate a mile and a quarter as well within her scope. And Julian Leperu got to know her a little bit last time. It was the first time he rode her, and she won very easily. I think she's the horse that Jeff has to worry about most today.
And, of course, our good friends at West Point Thoroughbreds, Terry Finley, sending out Coach Rocks 10-1 on the morning line. She's good, but she's going to need a best effort here this afternoon, right?
Yeah, absolutely. She's a talented filly with a lot of speed, and that can be dangerous in these mile-and-a-quarter races. If she's left alone on the lead, she could win a race like she did when she broke her maiden down at Gulfstream, won by 8 lengths wire to wire. She hasn't really been sent in her most recent races. In the Black Eyed Susan, she went to the lead, ended up finishing second, but she's got some talent. We know Dale's very high on her, and she's been working good at Saratoga, so speed is always dangerous.
All right, the Alabama 5:40 Eastern, our coverage 5-6 Eastern time, Sirius XM 93 and worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And just getting word now, a late edition that you'll also be able to catch that coverage in the Louisville market on 93.9 FM. So keep that in mind as well if you're in the Louisville market later this afternoon, 5-6 Eastern time. JT, very quickly before I let you go and we wrap up this Philly Focus presented by Paramount Sales, congratulations to our longtime host here on the network, or analyst, I should say, and your nephew, Sean Feld, who is officially off the market now, and there are hearts breaking all across the world with that news.
Yeah, I imagine so. yeah, great wedding last night. We had a lot of fun. The wedding was at Fasig Tipton Sales Pavilion, very nice, and the reception at the Hall of Fame Museum, which was fantastic. We had the Hall of Fame Museum all to ourselves. Very good food, a lot of fun, a lot of dancing. They had a great DJ. And we had to leave a little early because a fire alarm went off and the fire department caused us to evacuate. But the party moved on to a couple of local bars, and everybody had a great time. So it was a very nice event.
All right.
Today's a day at the races to celebrate the wedding.
All right. Enjoy it, my friend, and say hi to everybody for me. And congratulations to Sean and his new bride.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a great couple.
All right, bud. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
All right, we'll see you next week. JT, Pontiff of the Pick Four, with me next week at the Travers. But for today, as you heard, just enjoying a little time at Saratoga, being a fan, and that's what this sport is all about. That Philly Focus presented by Paramount Sales. Don't forget, Paramount, how about this? Selling 58 horses in Book 1 of the Keeneland September Yearling Sale. As a matter of fact, hip number 512 from the Paramount consignment is a filly by Uncle Mo out of Tismis Sue, a half-sister to last year's sale topper. Hip number 663, a colt by Cairo Prince, a half-brother to recent Grade 2 Best Pal Stakes winner Instagram, and hip number 891, another one that you'll want to circle. He's a colt by top sire Tappet out of the Grade 3 winning dam, Erhu, a half-brother to the undefeated multiple Grade 2 winner Only For You. And Paramount also offering three horses by Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh, who, of course, was a star first crop sire at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sales. So make sure you stop by that Paramount sales consignment at the Keeneland September sale. 58 horses in book one. Pretty spectacular. All right, turning our attention back out west to the Win In Your Inn $1 million Pacific Classic, all presented by TVG. And to help us look at that entire program is our good friend Craig Dado, who is the executive director of Del Mar and the chief marketing officer. Craig, happy Classic Day.
Happy Classic Day. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, what an afternoon it's going to be. 11 races carded for today. You have the three graded stakes, the two Win In Your Inns. What more could you ask for?
How about a mandatory payout in the pick six? What if you ask for that?
Sweeten the pot a little bit.
Yeah. So the jackpot actually becomes a mandatory payout with that scenario because everything has to go today. So the pick six will have a $25,000 carryover. Not a huge number, but it sweetens the pot a little bit. And I'm happy to say that all three of the graded stakes today, the Del Mar Oaks, the Del Mar Handicap, and the Pacific Classic, are all part of the pick six. So it's a great pick six betting opportunity today.
Yeah, and good fields, too. You know, oftentimes in racing, we talk about the problem that we face with short fields, especially in stakes races. You look at the Del Mar Handicap, 12 horses entered. You have 12 horses in the Del Mar Oaks, and then a field of an eight, a competitive field of eight in the Pacific Classic. It's just perfect.
Yeah, it looks really good. It's a really great betting card today, all in all. And how about Joel Rosario shipping back to Del Mar, where he used to be the leading rider once upon a time, and getting the mounts he's got? He's got Accelerated in the Pacific Classic. He's got Ashley Loves Sugar in the Del Mar Handicap, and he's got the Grand Motion Horse Colonia, who looks to be the favorite in the Del Mar Oaks. So what a day for Joel Rosario shipping back home.
Yeah, and of course taking over aboard Accelerate for the injured Victor Espinosa. Have you heard any updates on Victor and how he's coming along with his recovery?
Coming along well. Don't know when he's going to return to riding, but his spirits seem high, and he is coming along.
Yeah, good. We wish Victor all the best and a speedy recovery and hope to see him back in the saddle before too long, all things being equal. All right, so what do you think? Is it Accelerate and everybody else in that Pacific Classic?
You know, a lot of people are going to look at it that way. Obviously, Accelerate, you know, won the San Anita Handicap, won the Gold Cup, really likes the track here at Del Mar. He's had four really solid works that I know John Sather's been really happy about. But I tell you, there's a lot of talk about the Doug O'Neill entry, Pavel, that he's been working unbelievably well. He's the Stephen Foster winner. I'm hoping he really fires today so we have an exciting stretch run between those two. But I think I'm too deep in there. That's about it.
Yeah, it's funny because you talk about Doug O'Neill. We talk about John Sadler. Here's Bob Baffert, who seems to win every major race that we have in the sport. He has a couple of entries in the Pacific Classic. Both are going to be moderate-priced horses. You know, if he wins this race, Craig, I touched on this earlier, he's going to equal the great Bobby Frankel with six victories in the Pacific Classic. Unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy? And the year Bob's having, you can never throw him out. You know, the old adage, always play the other Baffert, the higher odds Baffert. Well, he's going to have two of them in there today. So he's tough to throw out. So you definitely have to take Bob Baffert's entries into account when you're handicapping the Pacific Classic today.
Yeah, and post time for the Pacific Classic, 6:43 local time on the West Coast. That's 9:43 for everybody tuning in here on the West Coast. And, of course, you'll be able to watch it on TVG. TVG Pacific Classic, $1 million on the line, and a Win In Your Inn for the Breeders' Cup Classic. We're going to talk about the other Win In Your Inn, the Del Mar Handicap, in a minute, but I want to ask you about that Del Mar Oaks. We talked about it having 12 horses, three-year-old fillies. The favorite in this race is going to be Colonia from the barn of Grand Motion, and again, Joel Rosario, as you said, making the trip back to Del Mar for that mount.
Yeah, when Grand Motion ships in, he usually means business. And he does get Joel, who knows the Del Mar facility very, very well. I mean, he was so good here when he rode here on a regular basis. I know it's a big field. I know anything can happen. But if you make me take a horse, I'm going to have to go with the favorite there.
Yeah, Greg Dado, he's on top of it there at Del Mar, as he should be. The executive vice president and chief marketing officer does a phenomenal job, and it's been an incredible meet. And now Pacific Classic Day rolls around, and you have two winning your ends, the Breeders' Cup Classic on the line for the winner of the Pacific Classic, and then the Breeders' Cup Turf is where the winner of the Del Mar Handicap will find themselves in early November. And Craig, the favorite in that race is number six. It's In the Post for Jeff Mullins and Tyler Bayes, but that's a 7-2 morning line favorite in a 12-horse field. Great betting race.
Yeah, the lukewarm favorites love those races. I don't know who to give you in here, but I just think something crazy is going to happen in here. I think you got to go deep in this race. I do love Ashley, love Sugar. Again, I keep bringing up Joel Rosario, but man, I tell you, there's really tough to single out a horse in this race.
Yeah, it should be a good one. And of course, post time for that race, the first of the three greatest stakes, is 4:40 local time, 7:40 on the East Coast. And races 6, 8, and 10, three greatest stakes races, all leading up to that $1 million TVG Pacific Classic. Craig, I had heard that there is going to be a very special ceremony as part of that card later today.
Absolutely true. After the third race, so people are going to be on track, and I think TVG will cover it live as well. People remember the lilac fires that burned out here in Southern California back in December. Really went through San Luis Rey Training Center with very little notice, and unfortunately we lost a number of horses. And there's a lot of heroes that stepped forth, not only at San Luis Rey to free as many horses as possible, but when over 300 horses were relocated to Del Mar, the people that stepped forth with money and supplies and mattresses for all the grooms and the people who lost everything in those fires, it was really amazing to see San Diego step up. But Martin Balak, the trainer who had horses there at San Luis Rey, in an effort to free as many as possible, suffered incredible burns, over 50% of her body. She lost one of her legs just below the knee. We're going to be honoring her today with the Lafitte Pink Tie Award. This will be her first public appearance since the fires, and I don't think there's going to be a dry eye in the house to honor a great, great woman who did so much for racing that day.
Yeah, kudos to you and the entire team at Del Mar for taking the initiative on that. What a great moment that's going to be. And you said after the third race, right?
Correct. Right after the third.
Okay. All right. And, of course, on the wagering side of things, you have that mandatory payout in the pick six. What other wagers can folks take advantage of if they're playing that Pacific Classic card later today?
Well, I tell you what, the early pick five with the low 14% takeout, still very popular. That's a great bet. We've added a late pick five today, which will incorporate two of the three stakes races. We have an early and a late pick four. I mean, something for everybody.
I mentioned that the meet's been pretty strong, Craig. You have to be pleased with the way everything's gone here in 2018.
Yeah, really happy. The racing product has been really, really great. Our racing guys, Tom Robbins and David Jerkins, have done a wonderful job. Field size is up, and of course, when that happens, your handle's going to be up. So handle's up right around 6%. We think we'll have a good day handle-wise today, and we just want to keep it going for a couple more weeks.
Yeah, spend a minute looking ahead to what folks can expect with the fall meet coming up later this year.
Well, you know, that's when the racing really gets good here. That's when we are clearly the best racing product in the country, so we want to take advantage of it. And I tell you what, we think we're going to see better horses than ever this fall, because when we hosted the Breeders' Cup last year in 2017, there were so many barns who came out, believe it or not, had never been to Del Mar before. And the easy reason for that is that because they're at Saratoga in the summer. So I think we opened the eyes of a lot of trainers and owners who I'm hoping will ship in this fall and at least send some stakes runners, if not a small string of horses. So we're looking for the racing product to be really, really strong this fall here in Del Mar.
Yeah, and the big news pertaining to Breeders' Cup coming out this week about the Breeders' Cup returning to Del Mar in 2021. So congratulations on that, too.
Yeah, thank you very much. We're looking forward to it. That was the year we wanted. We didn't want it back again too soon. We wanted to work up a little demand. And of course, Santa Anita and Keeneland do such a great job. They're very deserving sites as well. But we're looking forward to 2021, and we'll be gearing up starting soon.
Yeah, it was a great experience for me and for our entire team out there. We first of all, Del Mar, where else would you rather be at that time of year, right? And we were treated so well, and the event went so smoothly. We heard nothing but positive things, Craig. So I tip my hat to you and to your team. Well done.
Well, we appreciate it. Now, we've got a lot to work with in the San Diego area. It's a resort community. We've got the great hotels and the great restaurants and the great weather and the beach. So we've got a lot to work with here, and we really we appreciate it.
He's as good as it gets. He's Craig Dato, the Executive Vice President, Chief Marketing Officer at Del Mar. Like all of our guests, we're going to send Craig a gift, courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Craig, appreciate the visit, my friend, and all the support. Thank you very much, and keep it rolling out there. Enjoy Pacific Classic Day.
All right. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Craig Dato here on HRRN. Going to get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap it up. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is among North America's leading second crop sires, represented by the exciting graded stakes place filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing in 2018. Justin Phillip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time grade one winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner, Dre Fong.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Canadian classic hero, Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist, Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Do you know how fast you were going, son?
Call me Ed.
Do you know how fast you were going, Ed?
You mean exactly?
Yes, exactly.
No, not exactly. How fast?
Fast.
Fast, sir.
You were going very fast.
Fast is my job, officer.
Fast is your job?
Yes, sir.
What kind of job?
I deliver, sir.
What do you deliver?
The world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
I thought Jimmy John's had the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
Jimmy John's does have the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
So you deliver for Jimmy John's?
I deliver for Jimmy John's.
So do you always deliver fast?
I always deliver fast.
How fast?
I deliver subs so fast you'll freak.
It's not smart to freak a cop, son.
You didn't order Jimmy John's sub, sir.
So if I did order a Jimmy John's sub, when would I get it?
Now.
What if I don't want it now?
Then call later.
Or I could pick it up myself.
Or you could pick it up yourself.
Because I'm pretty fast too.
I'm sure you are, sir.
Very fast.
I believe you, sir.
Faster than you.
No way, sir.
Way faster.
In your dreams.
You dissing me, son.
No, sir, I'm polite.
Fast and polite.
Very polite and very, very fast.
Is that a challenge, son?
No, sir, it's a fact.
Let's burn rubber, kid.
You wouldn't be fair.
Why not?
You've got a fully blown V8 Camaro with slicks and headers.
So?
I've got a 10-speed bike.
I'll let you off with a warning.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
Pioneer of the night.
Performance.
She wins it. Emollient for Mike Smith with a huge run in this grade one.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. And Empire Maker yearlings averaged $400,000 at the Basic Tipton Saratoga sale.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hey, did you know that you can now use your Amazon Alexa devices to listen to Blood Horse Daily feature stories? Blood Horse Daily has the latest racing, breeding, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay, videos, and more. It's all free and available via PDF email, phone app, and now audible via Alexa devices. Visit bloodhorse.com/daily. Don't forget our coverage of the Travers Stakes next Saturday begins 3 o'clock Eastern, 3 to 6. Travers, Personal Ensign, Sword Dancer, Forgo, Alan Jerkins, Ballerina. Yeah, all those grade ones next Saturday here on the network. This afternoon, you can tune in 5 to 6 Eastern time, Sirius XM 93 and worldwide at horseracingradio.net and on our affiliate 93.9 in Louisville. You'll be able to listen to the Alabama Stakes. Anthony Stabile, Acacia Courtney, and Mike Beer bring you that coverage 5 to 6 Eastern time. Going to be a good one, too. We'll see if Midnight Bisou can pull off the victory. She's the likely favorite in there. And, of course, later this afternoon, you had the Pacific Classic. We'll encourage you to head over to TVG to check out that coverage later today. Threw out a poll question there at the top of the show. The poll question asked you to weigh in on which racetrack has been your favorite Breeders' Cup venue. And the votes have come in. And let's see. It looks like, well, we have Del Mar, Belmont, Santa Anita, Belmont, Keeneland, Santa Anita, Keeneland. The list goes on. Everybody weighing in as to which tracks they feel might be best. There's another one for Churchill Downs as well. You can still weigh in on our Twitter feed at HRRN. Been a busy show. Had a chance to talk with trainer Kenny McPeak, Jeff Bloom in the first half of the show, John Sadler. You heard from him in the second half, along with Craig Dado. My thanks to all those guests for taking the time. We'll send them a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. I want to thank our producer, Lee Delapina, here in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios, and Chauncey, Sean C., for handling all of the social media throughout the program here this morning. Don't forget, back 5 o'clock Eastern time with coverage of the Alabama. Thanks for listening, everyone, and as always, go Steelers.